consideration this morning. God's word to nourish us. God's word to strengthen us. God's word to guide us in our living as his children living in this world. It's from the epistle lesson, from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, to the Corinthian church. Now, this Corinthian church is not unlike ours. We have discussions, and sometimes heated discussions. And sometimes we're divided by certain things that happen in the church and in life. The Corinthian church was like that. And so the Apostle Paul is writing to them, and he says, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So far, God's word for our consideration again. I want you to think about your life. I want you to think about your daily existence. If you are an average person, now, we may stretch that a little bit, but if you are an average person, your heart beats in a 24-hour period of time 103,680 times. That's a lot of times, don't you think? Well, you breathe 23,040 times. And in that breathing, you take in 438 cubic feet of air. You on the average eat 3.5 pounds of food. You take in approximately 3 pints of liquid. No matter what the temperature is outside, you know, pretty cold this morning, and in the summer we're going to heat up, but on the average, your body temperature, within a few degrees or a few things is 98.6. Your daily routine, you walk about 5 miles. Now, a gracious God, even though he knows that we are sinners, has blessed us immensely with this heart that beats, the lungs that breathe, the mouth that sings, the eyes that see. What blessing this God has for each and every one of us. In my previous congregation, in 2002, St. Matthew and Mapleton had their centennial celebration. They put a little tree on a stand in the middle of the aisle. And they asked people to write out their blessings and to put them on this tree. And each Sunday they prayed for it. When I arrived in Lake City, I had both of the congregation pick a charred brown tree and put it in the back. And one was in the narthex, one was in the back of the church. And I said, write your blessings down. I want you to think about all those blessings that God has given you. Not just his physical body. We know that. We know also that God provides for our food and our shelter. He provides for us people that surround us and help us. If you look around today, and I want you to take a minute. I want you to look around. Look around to each other. Just look around. That's what God gives you. Brothers and sisters in Christ, to help, to lift you up, to encourage you in life. He has blessed you immensely in the physical aspect of life. But more importantly, as we think about our spiritual life, which hits bumps and bruises along the way, hits temptations to sin, and sin, we sin against most of the commandments. We sin against the fifth commandment, which says, thou shalt not kill. We do that constantly. Because what Luther also wrote about the fifth commandment is that if we do any harm to a brother or sister through our words or actions, that's sinning against the fifth commandment. I want you to think about that. And I want you to think about the blessing that God gives to you in Jesus. That in Jesus, God takes away your sin. In Jesus, God gives you eternal life. Knowing that this, when this body is done with, and we're summoned to go home to be with the Lord, that we will live forever. A friend of mine in Iowa, Gary Tease, when he talks about the grave, he doesn't talk about it being the grave. He talks about it being the resurrection spot. And rightly so, it is the resurrection spot. This is God's blessing to us. But more important, as we read through Corinthians and we read through the chapter 12, there's one unique ingredient to our lives. And that's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that came into your hearts and lives when the pastor said, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. That's an amazing gift that God has given you. He has given you the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit that grabs hold of you and creates faith in your hearts. As a pastor of 35 years, I only baptized two adults. In 35 years of ministry, I've also baptized two of my grandchildren. It's an amazing feat when holding those children that I have baptized and bringing them up to the altar to be blessed by God. The Spirit came in and grabbed their hearts and lives. And through the Spirit, God said, you are mine. And through the Spirit, he gives us power. As Paul said, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. That's a wonderful gift that God gives to us. Luther said in the third explanation of the creed, I cannot come or believe in this Lord Jesus Christ except by the power of the Holy Spirit, who has grabbed me and held me and instilled in me his gifts. Blessings that God has given each and every one of you. Blessings to work in this congregation. Blessings to reach out with Jesus. Because Jesus is our Savior. Jesus died for each one of us. Jesus rose to give us eternal life, forgiveness of sins. And that's powerful. A friend of mine, he's now living with Jesus. He crafted this cross. Herb was a special man in our life. I had Herb's wife's funeral in 2004. And he crafted this cross. It sat on my dresser for years. And when I came to Lake City, I should be wearing this cross because it shows the gift of a man who was a believer in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and empowered by the Spirit to share the blessings. And he shared that blessing. God uses you to share that blessings as well. To share your faith in Jesus. Because it has power. It's very powerful. In our world today, we see so much going on. Our young people are growing up in a world that is vastly turning away from Jesus. Turning only to self. Self as being powerful. That's the world we're living in. That's the world that needs to know about Jesus. We have strife, not just in the home, but out in the world. People going in all different directions, and Jesus brings us back to the center of ourselves. And he equips each and every one of you with gifts. But through our sin, we say, we can't do anything. In the early 1970s, I think it was, before Karen and I were married, there was a doctor, Dr. Sam Boyer. He was instrumental in bringing the medical school of the University of Minnesota to Duluth. And he caught me in the hallway as I was an orderly at the hospital. And he said, "Scott, you're going to make a great doctor someday. I'd like to help you." I said, "Well, Dr. Gordon, you have to pass all those classes." He says, "Don't worry about it." And he was talking to a teenager who had no idea what classes were going to be like. The temptations to sway. I didn't go to many classes. Needless to say, that door was closed. My mother was a RN, had a nurse. I thought, oh, that'd be great. Following her footsteps. Well, I got before the board of nursing and they wouldn't accept my application because I didn't have chemistry or biology, even though I had an impeccable referral by Dr. Boyer. That door was closed. I was going to become a physician's assistant. That door was closed. I got into the field of respiratory therapy. And all of a sudden, God's pulling at my heart because you see, when I was growing up in the Episcopal Church, I was going to become an Episcopal priest. But that door was closed. God opened an immense door. He opens all doors. He closes some. But he opens doors for us to share Jesus. We may not know the proper time, but he puts us in the proper place. Because when I received the call to Mapleton, Iowa, I was in International Falls, this close to resigning, this close to quitting the ministry. And I got a call to Mapleton, Iowa. When I accepted that call, I got a letter from Gary to the honorable missionary, pastor, Reverend Dr. Scott Figge, and I'm going, who is this guy? Who is this guy? I opened up and read the letter, and I found out when I got to Mapleton who this guy was. He opened the door to missions that I never thought possible. I never even dreamed of it. But he opened up that door to share with me missionaries in the world and to help and support those missionaries. God gives us gifts to share, even though we may not know it. We may be like, and I have to read this because I don't have this down in memory. All of God's people are needed. You are needed, each and every one of you. An ancient fable describes how the animals of the forest organized a school. The curriculum included running, climbing, swimming, and flying. Each student had to become proficient in all the subjects, so each could boast that he was able to do everything. The duck passed by flying and swimming was poor in running. The rabbit was top of the class in running, but nearly drowned in swimming. The eagle took top honors. Let's see, wait, where did they? The eagle took top honors in flying, but could only hop, not run. The raccoon climbed well, but fell on his face when he tried to fly. Finally, all the animals realized that each had their own unique talents, and that the whole forest was better off if each used and excelled at his own gift. We're gifted, brothers and sisters in Christ. Gifted with the power of God through the Holy Spirit, and we can use those gifts by sharing Jesus with each other and the world. In Christ's holy name, amen.